Well, everybody, welcome to episode 272 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some volleyball and football today. My first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball team, and she has guided the Eagles to back-to-back Class 1A state championships and a combined record of 78-6 over the last 2 years. She is the two-time reigning Class 1A coach of the year. She is Michelle Quick. Michelle, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Well, your team opened the season last night at the Ankeny Quadrangular, where your team went 2-1 on the night. You guys opened things up by sweeping Dyke New Hartford, the defending Class 2A state champs. Now, I know the Wolverines lost some really good players from that team last year, but you know, still had to feel good to snap their 50-match winning streak going back to last year, huh?
Yeah, it definitely felt good. I didn't think about it that way until you noted that in here. I thought, oh, I guess we did do that. Yeah, they lost some talented players from the year before, but their program is solid. They've always been rock solid. It won't take them very long to change some of their momentum and rhythm, and they're very disciplined, so they'll rise real quick as the season progresses.
Well, your team then faced Ankeny, the number 5 team in Class 5A, in what turned out to be the de facto championship match, you know, of the 4-team event. You guys put up a good fight, but eventually dropped a 25-22 decision to the Hawkettes, who ended up going 3-0 on the night. Now, your team doesn't usually get many chances to take on these bigger schools. Did you feel like your girls stepped up to the challenge and gave them a pretty good battle?
Yeah, I do. I thought it was a good battle. We played well. We typically will scrimmage them, Centennial and several other big schools, kind of preseason stuff or early on in the season, but never during season play. So it was exciting. It was fun to be able to put that that on our record. We hung right along with them, and we just kind of gave up too many points. We did tighten up a little bit and gave up too many. And on a team like that, you just can't give up points just involuntarily as far as unforced errors. But we've got a talented group of girls. We could hang with them, and just acclimating some of our youngers into that environment, and we'll be just fine as the season goes on. But it was definitely an honor to have that opportunity to play against them.
Well, your team then closed out the evening with another win over North Polk. So overall, you know, you have to feel good about what your team accomplished. You know, do you feel like you learned some things about your team last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Going into all three of those matches, you know, just really solid programs, really solid teams. And, you know, I wasn't sure what it was going to look like as we went into it. I do, you know, typically have some pretty good confidence with especially our 5 seniors that come on. They're experienced. You know, every match for us kind of paves a pathway for what practice is going to look like. So, yes, our back to the drawing board, and our list is long, and that's kind of what our expectation is as we continue to play and we continue to build, we just keep rewriting the script and what we need to work on for each match as it just comes along.
Well, there's a reason why you guys are ranked number one in the Class 1A preseason rankings. Not only are you the two-time defending state champs, but you return a lot of talent from last year. Your daughter, Katie, is one of the state's best setters. She was named to the Elite All-State team a year ago and was also the Class 1A Player of the Year. Outside hitter Carly Craighead has twice been named to the Class 1A All-State first team along with Katie, and they were both joined on that team a year ago by another outside hitter, Macy Nearing, who's also back for her senior season. And then another senior, Anna Weathers, a middle hitter, was a second team All-Stater last season. So, boy, that gives you a really good nucleus to build around, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Having those 4, we actually have 5 seniors that are returning that were part of that core and really have been for the last 4 years. So it's great. It's great having that opportunity to kind of come back with those and then fill those puzzle pieces in with our younger crew that needs to fill in those holes.
We did lose a couple of key pieces from last year's team. Libero Reese Gertie was a 4th team All-Stater, and middle hitter Chloe Rowe had a strong season as well. You know, I'm sure you'll miss Reese's leadership, but, you know, do you feel like you have some other kids who can step up into those roles?
Yeah, we do. It's always hard when we have to, kind of relook at those roles, especially when seniors move on. Chloe and Reese just brought so much more to the team as far as their spiritual leadership. They were just fantastic with bringing God's word into every moment and everything that we did, their energy, their personality. Some of those things are kind of hard to match when we look at the younger players because they're not sure, like, where they should let go and just be free and connect with our upperclassmen. And this group of 5 is a tough one to, they're all business and they're all work. So when we get into that role, get onto the court, some of these younger girls are looking at them like, well, they're machines and this is what we need to do. But we're starting to see some fun, some personality, some energy coming out, we should be just fine.
Well, yeah, the fifth senior that I didn't mention was Morgan Fincham, and she was part of the all-district team last year. You know, so she certainly has quite a bit of experience as well. Do you feel like maybe she's ready to take on a bigger role this season?
Absolutely, absolutely. Morgan's a multi-talented player for sure. We could put her in multiple places. We've been running her six rotations at the beginning of this season, and we'll kind of see how that kind of takes off and where that continues to guide and benefit the team. She absolutely has a lot to offer. You know, I always say that, you know, we've got six players on the court. I mean, they may not be the big hitters or the big dig or whatever it may be, the ace server, but all six players are so crucial to the outcome of what our goal is for the end of the year and what we've done in the past. And, you know, even our sideline as well. We talk heavily about that on a day-to-day basis in practice, that every single person, that whether you're on the court or on the sideline, plays a key role. So absolutely, Morgan is going to be definitely one of our strong contenders this year.
Well, who are some of those other kids, you know, that you expect to be part of that regular rotation this season?
Yeah, we've got some sisters. It's interesting. We have Caitlin Weathers. She's a sophomore this year. We brought her up to varsity last year. She's Anna Weathers' younger sister. She's got definitely a lot of potential. We've been playing her pretty solidly on the court so far. And, you know, still things to learn as far as the pace and the aggressiveness of the team. But she's absolutely going to be one of our add-ins as far as a key player. We've got a couple of juniors as well as far as defensive, potentially libero roles, as far as Ella Bussell and Ella Lever. They've been part of this program as well on this varsity team for a couple of years. So they've been around this environment. They've practiced with these girls, so they know what it takes and they know what we need to do. And I feel that those two are going to be some good additions to what our defense needs this year. And we've got a couple of freshmen coming up as well, Breeze Bentz and Liv Nearing, another sister. Liv Nearing is Macy's younger sister. They're both just multifunctional as well. We could really kind of play them anywhere on the court. They'll add some benefit to our front row where, you know, we're missing Chloe in that front row as well. But really, we could test them out in multiple different places and find a good place for them as well.
Well, your team will face another big challenge on Saturday when you compete in the Ankeny Centennial Invitational. You've been placed in Pool D, and you'll have pool play matches against a trio of bigger schools. You'll face Pleasant Valley and Valley, the number 1 and number 11 teams in Class 5A, as well as Norwalk, the number 10 team in Class 4A. You know, but you're gonna have your hands full, aren't you?
We certainly are. I thought this is probably our year. If this is an opportunity, we were scheduled in a tournament that day, but they happened to cancel on us. We took on this opportunity to challenge our girls. And, you know, I always say that we're 1A by choice and we're a 1A school, but our athletes aren't 1A players. And, you know, I talk to them a lot about that. And we say that often in practice, that our level of play as far as athletes don't categorize us into a 1A just because the athletic ability it doesn't necessarily always fit in that mold. So it'll be fun. We're looking forward to it. It's exciting, makes me a little anxious, and I'm excited to see what we can do and, you know, continue that quicker pace game.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't have agreed to play in this tournament if you didn't feel like, you know, your kids could compete at that level. You know, these kids probably need that challenge, don't they?
They do, and they like it. They really thrive over the pace and the aggressiveness, and they want the girls to be pounding the ball at them. And, it really kind of fell into place with that tournament being canceled for us, and Jessica Reinhardt had messaged me earlier in the summer and was looking to fill a spot. So it really just turned around great that we were able to accept it. And I think this is the perfect opportunity with the level of play that we have within our girls. I don't think the stage is too big.
Will your team have some other opportunities, you know, face some bigger schools this season, or will the rest of your schedule be mostly the 1A teams?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our conference will be in that 1A role, but we have three tournaments. We moved a little bit of our tournament around this year, and we have some more opportunities in several ranked teams, and hopefully we get pooled up with the ones that we want to play. We'll be looking at like Charles City, Wapsie Valley, North Tama, Applington, Parkersburg, Grundy Center. We're hoping to face them again, Denver, Carroll Kemper. So there's really some great matchups in the tournaments that we have coming up, and we did that strategically so that we kind of pace them out throughout the year. And then typically towards postseason, we'll get some more scrimmage dates matched up with Centennial, maybe Hawks this year, North Polk. We typically play a few schools during our kind of pre-postseason prep.
Yeah, I think I saw something on Twitter today. Isn't Grundy Center, aren't they the team that has the 6'7 girl?
Yeah.
She's gigantic.
She is. She's tall. Didn't play last year. We saw her on the sideline, and we're like, ooh, one day she's gonna come after us.
Well, that'll be a challenge. Well, obviously, your team is the favorite to win a third consecutive title. You know, I'm sure that is the team's ultimate goal. Have you guys set any other goals for this season?
You know, it's hard to kind of top that goal. So for sure, that's what we're looking at as we get into the end of the season. But we kind of slow it down and start looking at like a day by day. And as we kind of center around it, we kind of start to progress into what's going to work. We're working different rotations. We're going to work different players in the different positions. So really, it's just an everyday thing. And we start filling those, kind of putting a piece of the puzzle together. And hopefully we can find how that puzzle all fits perfectly by the end. And it just continues to change as the season goes on. We change our rotations a lot. We change just kind of who's playing next to each other. And we've got a great lineup of players that can fill multiple roles. And we just got to figure out how that fits best to put us in success for that final goal.
All right, Michelle. Well, I have a feeling I'll probably see you guys over at the state tournament later this season. Should be a fun year. I appreciate you coming in today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Absolutely.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior setter for the Eagles. She ranked fourth in Class 1A a year ago with 880 assists, and she also racked up 150 aces, which led the entire state in that category for the second year in a row. She is Katie Quick. Katie, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Well, hey, before we talk some volleyball, I wanted to ask you about your softball season. Ankeny Christian fielded a team for the first time ever this summer, and you helped the Eagles to an 18-7 record. You batted 587 with 12 home runs and 38 RBIs, and you were named the Class 1A All-State second team. You know, did you enjoy getting a chance to play softball for your school, and do you feel like, you know, that program has a bright future as well?
Yes, I love getting to play for my own school. I played for DMC last season, which was really fun, but it was a whole different feeling getting to represent my own school. And yeah, I think it's looking good for the future. We lose Reese, which is a big loss, but she was our only senior, so there's some younger girls coming up that will be able to help the program too.
Well, now you're headed to Drake next fall to play volleyball, and I know a lot of times, you know, the incoming college athletes are asked to get on campus over the summer to help with the transition to the next level. So do you know yet if you'll be able to play softball for ACA next summer, or will you have to report to Drake, or is that still to be determined?
Yeah, I'm planning on playing softball still next summer. One of Drake's incoming freshman this year played softball last summer, and she made it work. And since I live so close, I'll be able to make it to all the Drake stuff as well as being able to play softball.
Oh, well, that's good. Let's talk about last night's Ankeny Quadrangular. Like I mentioned earlier, you guys went 2-1 on the night for the first time out. What did you think of your team's performance?
Yeah, I thought we played really well for the first games of the season. Since we started right off the bat with some really strong competition, we needed to be able to come out and perform well quickly and right away, and I think we did really good at that.
Well, you guys certainly gave Ankeny a really close battle. What do you think ended up being the difference in that match? Was there a specific area where maybe Ankeny was just a little bit better?
Yeah, I think Ankeny, being a bigger school, just had so many more girls to choose from, and they have a really deep bench. So that put us at a little bit of a disadvantage. But yeah, they have a lot of weapons in like every hitting position. So we struggled to deal with their size, and they just found our weaknesses.
Well, I know one of my young reporters, Steven, had a chance to talk to you afterwards. And I know you've played club ball with Ankeny's Reagan Hanfeld before, so did you enjoy having the opportunity to play against her?
Yes, I love Regan, and it's always just so fun to see your teammates at games. We're good friends off the court, but then on the court, we're all business.
Well, I asked your mom this question. I'll ask you too. You know, do you feel like you learned some things about the team last night?
Yeah, I think that we just found some areas that we need to tighten up on, and I think one of those from last night was our defense. It wasn't amazing, but overall, I think we played really well, and we'll find our areas that we need to clean up.
Well, we talked about the huge challenge you'll be facing at the Centennial Invitational on Saturday. Do you know much about any of those teams that you'll play other than that they're all really good?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to the fact that we know a lot of these girls from clubs, so we're somewhat familiar with them, and it'll be tough for us, but I think it'll be good.
Well, as the two-time defending state champs, you know, do you feel like this team, you know, needed some challenges like this just to see how good you can be?
Yeah, in the past years, we've played Ankeny and Centennial in their scrimmages in preseason, but I think it was good for us to play them in regular season just to challenge ourselves, and why not play bigger schools?
Well, yeah, your team has had so many lopsided victories over the last couple of seasons. You know, it would make sense that you would want to play some stronger opponents to see if you can, you know, raise the level of play, you know, when you have to. Do you think there have maybe been some times in the past when you guys have almost gotten bored just, you know, when you've been winning so easily?
Yeah, the competition in our conference isn't great, so some of those games aren't the most fun. But I think we just do really well at focusing on our side of the court in order to prepare for the better competition that is to come.
Well, I see that Holy Trinity Catholic, the team that you defeated in last year's championship match, is number two in the preseason rankings. Do you know if they have a lot of girls back, and do you feel like they are perhaps the main team that you have to keep an eye on this season?
Yeah, I think that Holy Trinity has quite a few returning, so we'll definitely need to keep our eyes on them. I think some that they'll just be some good competition, and lots of the other schools that are maybe weren't as much in the running last year are looking pretty good this year with some underclassmen.
Well, I asked your mom if the team has any other goals for this season besides winning another state title. Do you have any other goals?
Yeah, I think that we have just had some goals on just focusing on getting better every day. And I think a goal for myself would be to really bring the underclassmen under my wing, and while I'm still here, I can just help guide them in how to compete and to just not be like playing down to other teams' levels, but always focusing on ourselves. So,
well, you have led the state in aces the last 2 years. You know, do you feel like that is something that you could accomplish again, and is that a goal for you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely achievable. I've been working a lot on my serving, but I guess we'll just see what happens.
Now, when you get to Drake, do you feel like your serving ability is something that will translate pretty quickly to that level? Do you think you'll be able to rack up the aces the way that you have, you know, here in high school?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be tougher to get all the aces, but I'm just going to try to serve tough and maybe get some other the teams out of system, and no position is guaranteed, especially as being a freshman. So I think if I could contribute in any way, even if that's just a serving role, that would be great.
All right, Katie. Well, I know you've had a busy day. You told me you had to send your pictures earlier today, so I appreciate you taking the time to come in today. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a realtor at Caldwell Banker, and she has been on the podcast a few times before. Her last appearance was back in December, so it's nice to welcome her back. She is Tiffany Rimmelhart. Tiffany, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back.
You bet. Well, I've had a busy day. You just came from an agent tour of five MJ Properties homes over the last few hours. You know, how did that go?
It was amazing. We always have such great support in the Ankeny community with MJ Properties, and the turnout, couldn't be happier. It was a great event. We had a dunk tank there. We had a photo booth. We had all kinds of food. And so, yeah, it was a great, great turnout. Great day for it, too.
So was this all outside? I guess not. When you go inside the homes, it's not.
But. Yeah, it was. We had, we've got three homes all on Northwest Linwood Court in Centennial States. All of these homes that were on agent tour are all in Centennial States, just northwest of Centennial High School. And three of the completed homes are on Northwest Linwood Court. So we had all three of those open. We have another one, Northwest 29th Street, that we held open, and Northwest Beechwood. So they had an opportunity to tour all of those homes and see all the great things that MJ Properties does. We also have a two-story home that's not quite complete yet, but it's over in that same neighborhood. So we're excited about that one as well to add to our MJ family of homes here.
Well, yeah, it's a little cooler today, but it's still pretty warm. So I hope they have the AC cranked up in those homes.
Yes, and I am happy to say that I was actually in the home and I didn't have to be outside. So I was one of the lucky ones.
Well, that's good. You mentioned, you know, the various homes there. I don't know, do you want to give a little more details on some of those homes?
Sure. So they're all ranch style homes. They range anywhere from four bedrooms to five bedrooms. All of the lower levels are finished. They range in price from $529 up to $585. All of them have a little bit different selections and finishes in them, offer some great space. They have different front elevations. I would just, anyone who's interested or in the market for a ranch home, they do range in size from about 1,500 square feet on up to a little over 1,800. So again, lots of variety, something for everybody out there. So if anybody is interested in touring any of these homes, myself and Rhonda Dix, my business partner, we would love to take you through any of them.
And what's the best way for those people to get a hold of you?
They can reach me at 515-669-2037.
All right. Well, I did want to ask you another question. You know, there have been some big changes in the real estate industry since the last time you were here. You know, has that been a big adjustment for you and for the home buyers and sellers, or do you think the impact of these changes has been a little overblown?
You know, I do. I think the media has kind of overblown a lot of the things. It really just kind of comes down to transparency. The more transparent we can make the industry, you know, the better off the general public's going to be. We want to be able to give them all of the tools, all of the knowledge and everything before they go into a major purchase. And that's kind of what it's really all about, is just being more transparent. It's nothing to be afraid of or nothing to get worried about. It's just, just arming people with all the information that they need. And really, you'd want to just talk to your professional real estate agent, and they can fill you in on all of the details and make you more comfortable with all of the changes that are taking place in the industry.
All right, Tiffany. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. All right, well, my last guest today is an Ankeny resident who has been a longtime assistant football coach at Dowling Catholic, and he coaches the Maroons offensive line. He's going to help me break down the landscape in Class 5A football this season, and we'll also preview Friday's Jag-Hawk game a little bit. He is Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great and ready for Friday. Everybody is right now. Everybody's tired of hitting each other.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's hard to believe that football season is here. I mean, where did the summer go?
For me, it disappeared really fast with doing softball all summer long and having a daughter that was playing that. And before you know it, you're about a week out from go state softball dead week, and football's going as soon as you get back.
Well, your team is number 5 in the Des Moines Register's preseason rankings, and you guys will open the season against Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Now, I know your team boasts one of the state's best running backs in Rashad Davis, but I also hear that you guys have some youth on the roster this year. You know, don't you have several freshmen on the varsity now?
Yeah, in fact, as we talked to people over the last couple weeks, I'm not sure there's ever been a freshman that started for Dowling. We've had a few freshmen play that we're going back 40 to 50 years, and they're not sure that any freshman has ever started, and I would say there's a good chance two or three will be playing significant roles for us throughout the course of this year. So these are talented kids. I'm not sure you ever want to have freshmen playing in the CIML or playing against the teams that we do. I know it's not conferences for football, but playing 5A football, to have a freshman be ready, but these are kids that when they walked in this room right now, they would not look like freshmen. They are some good-looking kids.
Well, there must have been a need for those kids to step up maybe into those roles.
You know what? We've got players, but these guys they're talented. I mean, if you look at the Register and they put out their recruiting rankings, two of these three kids are ranked in the top 5 in the class of 2028 offensive linemen. So
wow.
They are they're good players. I mean, these are kids maybe in some other years wouldn't have played, but they're legit talents right now.
Well, with that youth, do you think it might take this team a while, you know, to come together?
Yeah, that's going to be a focus early on in the season, and we've certainly seen that play out for a lot of teams over the last several years in Class 5A. As you turn over a huge percentage of your roster every season, you know, the senior-laden programs, the good ones, when you look at the Valleys, the Southeast Polk, Centennial, Ankeny, all those really good teams, every year you're turning over half your roster, so it does take a little while, and I think all those teams would tell you the goal was to be playing your best at the end of the year, not necessarily at the beginning of the year. I think you saw that with both Ankeny and Centennial last year. Early on in the season took some lumps, but those teams both improved a ton over the course of the year, and teams that didn't look like much of a threat going into the playoffs that ended up playing each other in the semifinals.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Well, when we look at the Register's rankings, they have Valley number 1, followed by Ankeny and Centennial. And we'll talk about the Jag-Hawk matchup here in a minute. But first, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Tigers. They haven't won a state title since 2011, but I can see why, you know, some people are pretty high on them. They have two of the state's best receivers in Zay Robinson and Jaden McGregory. And, you know, those two guys are going to be a problem for opposing defenses, aren't they?
They are, for sure. And I think the question marks over there are who's going to get the ball to them. Are they going to be able to protect him enough to get the ball to them? I know they've got several question marks on their defense as well. I know we tend to in the media look at the production and what comes back and just looking at that number, but not always think about what caused it to be that high of production. And we look at recruiting rankings and all that. And those two players are incredible talents. They're so fast. I think the word they like to use is twitchy or sudden is the college term that coaches use. And those guys certainly possess that. And that's why they're very sought after. But they're going to have, you know, it's a team game, and football is an incredible team game. And you got to be able to find a bunch of guys that can block for them and a bunch of guys on the other side that can make sure that you can get the ball in those guys' hands as well, so that the other team isn't just out on offense the entire time.
Well, let's take a look at Ankeny. The Hawks return a lot of guys on offense. Quarterback Luke Anderson. They have the 1-2 punch at running back with Henkes and Larmy. And then they have a talented group of receivers led by Evan Earlmeyer. You know, that unit is going to be tested on Friday, though, by Centennial's defense, which returns some of its top tacklers. They got defensive end Isaiah Bassett. They got linebacker Reed Anderson, defensive back Chase Kluver. And, of course, the Jaguars have also added a huge piece in Waukee transfer Malachi Curvey, who was ranked the number 8 player in Iowa by the Register. You know, so how do you see that matchup of Ankeny's offense versus Centennial's defense?
So looking at Ankeny's offense first, and I think the big key here right now is to figure out, okay, how good did Devin Akers make that offense a year ago? When you've got a guy of his caliber, 6'7", and can fly, as we saw on the track, and he was a underrated recruit, I think, in the college game. I don't know what college coaches are looking at, because when you look at what he possessed and the tools and the intangibles, intangibles that he had, I don't know why he didn't go higher. And I don't know, I'll be curious to see how good actually is everybody else out there, because Devin Akers made everybody else a lot better by how he forced you to defend him. And it opened up a lot of things in the pass game and in the run game. Ankeny's offensive line, I know they got a good chunk of guys coming back. Obviously, the two running backs that you mentioned are very talented kids, and that they get the ball in the open field, and both of them have the ability to go. So there are a couple different qualities there that they possess, but both of those guys are very good. And Earl Meyer, and you know, you look back, I remember at the beginning of last season, Anderson, there was like a three-way battle for quarterback mm-hmm. for Ankeny, and I think everybody thought, well, if you got three guys battling, that probably means none of them were very good. And I think Luke showed that that wasn't necessarily the case, as he had an outstanding season. I would expect he'll have to take on more of a leadership role this year and probably make some more decisions that maybe last year he didn't have to make necessarily. There's some quicker decisions that he didn't have to make last year.
Let's talk about the matchup on the other side of the ball. Ankeny lost a lot of guys off its defense, but you know, I talked to Coach Bauer last night, and I know he feels like they've reloaded pretty well. Karsten Bernholtz is a guy that he mentioned that we should watch out for. He's playing football for the first time, but it sounds like he's going to make a big impact. You know, and then you look at Centennial's offense. You know, I talked to Ryan Pizzetti last night too, and he mentioned that Kluver will be taking over the quarterback duties now. You know, it's pretty rare to have a kid in 5A football start a quarterback and on defense, you know, but that's what he's going to do. It takes a pretty special player to be able to do that.
Well, and he's a really, really good athlete, but I think what you're going to find is they're pretty excited, from what I hear out of Jags camp, is they're pretty excited about the prospects of throwing the ball a little bit more with him back there. And obviously they got some threats at running back too. Jackson's a kid that him coming back, and obviously he possesses a pedigree to be a really break open back there for the Jags. But I think that Ankeny defense is very tough. They've got they had some questions at linebacker now with what how they're going to do things. They replace a couple really good studs there at the linebacker spot, but they should be really good on the back end. Voss, Sandvig, those guys should be really good on the back end, and their defensive line, they can plug and play in their scheme. They can plug anybody in on the defensive line. They can, you know, I think last year, I'm trying to remember how many guys that we had on the scouting report that they had played on the defensive line, just a bunch of them, the way they move guys around so much post-snap can cause a lot of issues on an undisciplined offense. So that's going to be a good matchup, I think, because I think the Jags offensive line should be very good this year. They've got a lot of guys back up there, some beef, as we would say in the business, and I think that Jags offensive line is going to be really good as well. So, you know, a year ago, Jags got off to that big start in that game, and there's some conditioning things came into place definitely in the second half, and I think it was one of those games last year a lot of people would have expected that the Jags were pretty highly favored going into that game, and as that night went on, and I was fortunate to be there, we didn't play till Saturday, so that was my first time on the sidelines in the 11 years that the schools had been separate, and it was, the atmosphere was very, very cool. But you saw Ankeny just hung in and hung in and hung in. They made a little comeback, they got it close again. It seemed like the Jags were pulling away. And Ankeny, the longer they stayed in that game, you could just feel that momentum shift over. And there was a drive to start the second half that they really started. You could see kind of start imposing their will up front. And so as they stayed in that game, that made it a lot of fun. It was an incredible atmosphere. Double overtime, if I remember right.
Right.
I remember it was at least one overtime. But yeah, that double overtime, and they got the ball up to Akers. And that was kind of the beginning of seeing how talented of an athlete he is.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, when we had the rematch in the semifinals, you know, I thought maybe Centennial's peaking at the right time. They had that 41-point second half over at Bettendorf that I got to see, and you know, I thought maybe they had the edge going into that game, but then of course Elijah Porter came down with the food poisoning, and that was a big factor, and the Hawks won that one too, 10-7.
And I reached out to a couple coaches privately just to see kind of what their thoughts were, some Ankeny and Centennial coaches, and one of the Ankeny coaches that I talked to, I say, what's going to be the key for you guys on Friday night? And he said, food poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah,
tongue-in-cheek. But that was, I kind of got a kick out of that, because that was, I mean, Porter, as well as he was playing at that stage of the year, that was a big deal. But again, Ankeny just had the it factor. I mean, those guys were playing with so much confidence at the end of the season last year. And Coach Bauer, I really enjoy talking to that guy. I think the world of him. And it was just fun to see the confidence that he had instilled in those guys, and they knew they could beat anybody and play with anybody, and we saw it in the playoffs last year.
Well, I mentioned those guys that are back on Centennial's defense. I guess I didn't let you respond to that, though. With the addition of Curvey, you know, how do you think that, you know, that defense is going to be?
It's going to be really hard to throw the ball, I think, on Centennial because of the pass rush that those guys will have. There may be a few little gaps in the run game, which I think those linebackers do help shore up, but man, the pass rush between Curvey and Bassett, what those guys will be able to do, Grider in there as well, he's kind of your run plugger in there, but man, there's some guys guys in there that are going to make things really tough for other teams to move the football.
Well, do you have a feel for how this game might go?
You never have a feel for how a Jags-Hawks game is going to go, and that's across the board. I mean, last year, as we were going into the basketball season, I put together a little highlight of just the finishes of Jag-Hawk games over the last 5 years, just in every sport, and you look at the amount of, you know, me having girls, the amount of walk-off hits in softball, the amount of close finishes in baseball, the amount of five-game matches in volleyball, the amount of buzzer beaters and comebacks that have taken place in basketball, just so many, and not to mention the football games that have taken place too that everybody's been at. But when there's a rivalry, you throw out everything because you never know who's going to be affected by nerves more. First game of the year, you don't know how some of those young players are going to step up that haven't played before when they step out in front of 12,000 people on Friday night. So a lot of unknowns, and I think any coach will tell you there's three times that you will take a win no matter how ugly, and that's in the first game of the year against a rival or in the playoffs. And two of those three boxes are checked on Friday night. First game of the year against a rival, and I don't think many coaches would want to play this game the first of the year. You have to play the schedule that the state sets out for you. You'd love to have a little info on the teams that you're going to play ahead of time, but it does help keep your kids focused in the preseason camp. I know we've had a couple years where we play Valley to start the year, and there is a little more focus as you go about. You actually feel like you're preparing for opponent and not just hitting each other for 3 weeks before you get into game week.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. Well, yeah, it should be a fun one. Well, let's finish up with this, Andy. When you look at 5A as a whole, do you think there's a team, you know, out there that might be flying under the radar a little bit right now that could maybe, you know, in the postseason surprise some people?
Well, I think, you know, we already mentioned Valley, and I think Valley is the clear-cut number one right now. Everyone is wondering what is going to be next for Southeast Polk right now, and they've certainly got a program that's been built on plug and play. They don't have the star power over there this year, but I got to imagine that they're going to have it figured out over the next couple weeks and figure out what it's going to take. Obviously, Ankeny and Centennial right up there at the top. If you look at the east side of the state, Iowa City High, I think, is kind of a sleeper right now. I think a few people think they could be better than what they were last year, the last 2 years, and maybe make some noise there. We saw Johnston at a team camp. I think Johnston's going to be tough. You've got Waukee. We scrimmaged them. They certainly have the firepower on offense that they could go ahead and outscore a lot of teams out there. No one's brought up Waukee Northwest. I have no idea what to expect out of Waukee Northwest. They're losing a lot of talent. They've been really, really good at the lower levels now for several years with the guys coming up through there. So no idea what to expect. Urbandale is a team that brings back a lot of guys. They're going to be really, really good up front on both sides of the football. And that's a team that I think any of those teams out in the CIML, even though we don't all play each other, again, with it being districts and not conferences, I don't think there's a single team this year that you could say would be a huge surprise if they would win, go on and win it. There's just so much parity right now. I just don't see that star power that's all loaded onto one team, you know, and that's why I think it's possible to say that, you know, you can have any team come through and, you know, in college, high school football, one injury away. No one has the depth to overcome an injury at a key position. It's been that way for years. And so that there's a factor of element of luck that comes into making a good postseason run as well.
When you mentioned Southeast Polk, of course, they've won the last three state titles, and you guys have been on a run like that before when you won seven in a row. And once you get on that run, I mean, even if you lose some studs, I mean, you know they got to have some guys that are ready to step in. And like I said, once you get that ball rolling, I mean, it's probably easier to keep it going, isn't it?
It's I would say that there you do feel a little pressure as you get more and more. And I think that each senior class that comes through feels that pressure even more. They don't want to be the class that sees a streak like that end. Southeast Polk has been the only school to win in Class 5A because that's only been around for 3 years now. So they're the only school to win that. All the records in the title games of Class 5A are held by Southeast Polk. So it's tough for a lot of people in high school. And these kids in high school right now that are going to be seniors have never seen anybody but Southeast Polk win a state title. And so it's theirs to lose right now. But I just think, realistically speaking, there's just so much talent other places. And we'll see what they've got. I mean, we don't play them till week 8, I think. So we'll see what they've got. They play Valley right away Friday night. So we're going to have a pretty good idea of how things look between both those teams.
Sure. Well, that should be a great season. Looking forward to it. Hey, thanks a lot for coming today, Andy.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in here today. We had Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball coach Michelle Quick and her daughter Katie. We had realtor Tiffany Rummelhart from Coldwell Banker, and we finished up with Dowling Catholic assistant football coach Andy Pollack. I appreciate the time from all of those folks, and come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.